the night, oh, give her the night. Give her a try, oh, give her the night. Don't burn the witch, she'll get right back at you. Don't burn the witch, your friends and family too.
Wanted back homes of America. live from the G&D Show Studio. This is your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
Doesn't that sound exciting to you?
Hey, welcome back, Shadow Nation, to the one, the only Mystifying Oracle Radio, your Ghostman and Demon Hunter show, Demon Hunter!
The top story in right now, there seems to be a football game going on.
The Super Bowl, which I care nothing of because my Colts aren't in it.
Yeah, somebody asked me just this week, isn't this the first time you guys have done a show on Super Bowl Sunday? And I said, yeah, because no teams that Sean gives a darn about are in it this year.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? Here's a fun fact, Demon Hunter. Here's a fun fact. Are you ready to hear it?
I'm ready for it.
Okay, the fun fact is, Shadow Nation, for the first time ever in the history of the National Football League, the Colts, my Indianapolis Colts, have beat both teams that are in the Super Bowl tonight fighting for the World Championship. I went to the Seattle Seahawks game and the Indianapolis Colts, and I watched the Colts throttle them hard. And then, of course, I couldn't go to see the Colts play Peyton Manning in the Denver Broncos, but it was here at home, and we beat the Broncos, too, by the skin of our teeth. But we beat both teams that were in the Super Bowl, and Tom Brady and the Patriots took us out. Oh, well, what are you going to do, Demon?
Well, you know, that's just the Patriots for you. They tend to thrash those cheaters. And
now, if somebody's in the chat room, you guys need to keep an eye on the score tonight for us, because I'm keeping an eye on it too, but you guys can get us in the chat room, get us on Twitter, wherever, and let us know the score, because last week, Demon Hunter, huh? What happened last week?
It happened last week. We predicted the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike last year.
Well, we don't know if we predicted it.
You know, we put our prediction down for the Super Bowl, which, of course, we stated that the Broncos will win the Super Bowl.
You're a premature predictor. I guess you had
now,
to be.
Now, last year, Professor Slim King also helped us pick the score, we got the score exactly.
Yes.
This year, we said it was going to be something like 12 to 24, wasn't it?
No, we didn't even say the score.
No, we didn't. Not on the show. Afterwards, we sat there trying to figure it out, and we weren't quite as solid this year as we were last year with coming up with the score.
Well, last year
we predicted something like 12 to 24 or 25 or somewhere in there.
Yeah, we both went into detail last year.
Biggie fries.
Yeah, last year we went into detail. This year we just kind of went, hey, you know.
Yeah, it's gonna this be year the... was a little rougher. We had less time to sit in meditation.
Right. Sweat lodge, naked.
Commune with the universe and come up with those perfect scores. And so now, you know, we've got gamblers all over the country contacting us going, where are our scores, damn it?
Yeah. You got Vegas having a conniption fit right now.
Don't be playing with yourself.
Don't play with yourself. Unless it's recreational purposes only. I mean, you can do that. So anyway, Demon Hunter, welcome back, everybody, listeners around the world. It's so good to be here. Sunday night, I was just thinking, I seen the microphone all week sitting down here in studio, and a lot of people don't know what goes in to doing the show, but we do, Demon Hunter, going on, working on our, what, seventh year or eighth year we're working on?
Well, let's see. 2007.
Yeah.
February 11th was our first official show in 2007.
Well, there you go. Anyway, we've been doing it a long time. But, you know, I've been working on this show all week, and I'm very excited about tonight. Very excited. Demon Hunter and I found the guest, and you guys hear about that a little bit later. But I'm very excited about Demon Hunter. I don't want to go into that yet. Let's talk about something else. I got some good... tonight's band, guys, it was supposed to be Zombina and the Skeletones. You guys know them. You love them. Out of the UK, they will be on at the break. We will be playing you, Zombina. Don't get mad at me, sweetheart. I love you. But I had to, Demon Hunter, play the great band. Just like Zombina and Skeletones, great. But Britannica, out of Salem, Massachusetts, or out of Massachusetts... Don't Burn the Witch, man, because of tonight's show.
So you're going to say we had to play the band from Salem, Massachusetts. And the song is Don't Burn the Witch. We had to play the song because of tonight's guest, but you won't say who tonight's guest is.
Well, not yet.
Okay.
We're holding out. We're talking about other things. Yeah. Hey, do you remember that house I was telling you about that I went to last week looking at homes?
Yes, yes.
Hey, here's a funny story I forgot to tell you about before the show, because Nathan and I talk before the show, folks. Very cool stuff. We're going to have to release videotape. We don't use videotape anymore. Have to release DVD.
We'll have to start Skyping and recording our messages.
Kids around the world underage that are huddled around their bed in the dark right now listening to us. We're like, what's videotape? It's like an 8-track. I don't even know if people know what 8-tracks are anymore. Do the kids know what 8-tracks were?
You know, I'm sure they have them in a museum somewhere.
Okay. What was I talking about earlier? Right before
the house you went to see?
Oh, yeah, the house. ADD radio in stereo. No, but yeah, I went to this house, and the second one, Demon Hunter, second one has a cemetery, not in the backyard, but facing the backyard, like right up on it. Like there's a tombstone literally 3 feet from the fence in the back.
Jeez.
Huh? I'm thinking Ghostman's going to have a party house, man.
Why are you looking for houses with cemeteries?
Well, your neighbors will never change. Well, they'll add too, but
they're quiet.
Yeah, they are quiet. I guess they will change. Well, they'll populate. Yeah. Plus, think about what we do. We'd love to go stroll. You come over, we grab a couple cold beers, me and you hit the cemetery and just chill. Huh? Take a nice long stroll. You'll try to hold my hand. I'll say no. Oh!
Oh!
Tonight's guest.
Like you ever say no to a hand. Never.
Very excited about this one, Demon Hunter.
Da-da-da.
Tonight's guest, Shadow Nation, author of the new book, Six Women of Salem. And fresh off her appearance on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, Marilyn K. Roach stops by the studio, guys, to give us the inside scoop on what happened all those many years ago in a little town called Salem. That's right, guys. Witchcraft, religious fanaticism, and greed. You find out tonight with special guest author Marilyn K. Roach. Huh?
Eh?
Very excited about it.
Wayne Passante?
Passante. Marilyn K. Roach. New book, Six Women of Salem. She just did The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. Yeah, big time, baby.
Yeah, now maybe we can get on The Daily Show.
We might.
We're famous by association.
We call John and say, hey, we're getting some big name guests on. This beautiful lady had just released this book, and I was speaking to her before the show, Demon Hunter, Shadow Nation. She has been working on this book for over 32 years. I mean, she has other books, but she has been researching the witch trials. That's Sarah Good, Rebecca Nurse, and many more. The women of Salem that were involved in that tragic event. She had been researching it for over 32 years, Demon Hunter.
That's a long time to research a book, Sean.
A long time, and she has been in the dusty corners of every little courtroom or archive room in Salem and Essex County, all these places out there looking for these old courts. I mean, she's held these documents from the 1600s, late 1600s, when this happened. I mean, this lady, I think, is the only person on earth that has been this close right now to the Salem witch trials.
That's a lot, Sean.
I thought it was.
That's a whole lot of time spent looking up witches.
I thought it was. How many was involved?
How many witches? Yeah.
Man, that's a good question for her tonight. There was quite a few. How about six? Six women of Salem.
Wait. Let me see if I can find it here.
Find it real quick.
Oh, no, never mind.
Come on.
I was trying to find a really cool clip to play for that, and you know what? There was an advertisement linked to it, and we don't have time for.
Oh no! Advertisement.
You got emotional problems, man.
Do you?
Hey, just before we came on the show, I got sad news, Sean.
No, don't be giving me sad news, Demon Hunter. We can't take any more this year.
Got to, because it just threw me for a loop. Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh.
Famous actor. You know, people recently have watched him.
Yes.
You know, he He's been in the new Hunger Game movies. Last 2012, he did The Master, which was based on, you know,
The Master,
on the whole Scientology belief system. And you know, he's just done some fabulous roles, but for me, he will always be Dusty from Twister.
Dusty from Twister.
You remember the movie Twister?
He was the one with the long hair that was like, oh.
Yep. Yeah.
And he was also in that one flick with Adam Sandler, Long Came Polly.
I never saw that.
Oh, my God. He was the blonde-haired guy that was kind of chubby.
Yep.
And he was in, oh, my God, I didn't know that was him, Demon Hunter.
Yep. And famous actor, of course, like I said, everybody loved him in The Master. He was up for all those awards last year. You know, they're filming The Hunger Games right now, the second part of the Hunger Games series. And so what happens now if he's dead? You know,
What did he play in The Hunger Games? I
haven't watched The Hunger Games, but I did see some of the clippets from it. And apparently he was like one of the producers of the games, and also part of the underground. So, and he had a fairly large role in it. So I'm wondering if this might postpone future releases of the Hunger Games movies.
Oh, that's very sad, man. That's very sad.
So there'll be a lot of crying teenage girls that the Hunger Games, if the Hunger Games gets delayed.
Did they say the cause of death?
Sadly, they did. Well, they said how they found him.
Yeah.
Whether or not it is the cause of death will be, of course, up to investigators to conclude. But he was found in his Greenwich Village apartment in the bathroom with a hypodermic needle stuck in his arm.
Well, it's always he was kind of funny too, and it.
Yeah. You know, and you know, he famous for his movie playing Truman Capote.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
In the movie Capote, famous for, he had roles in movies like The Red Dragon and Cold Mountain.
I'm ready for sex.
Yeah, Charlie Wilson's War, all these great movies. But for me, he will always be Dusty from Twister, because you think back to that movie, Twister.
Yes, good movie. Great
movie. Anybody who's ever like fallen in love with storm chasing.
It's a great movie, actually.
Remembers that movie.
Yeah.
You know, basically set up as a Helen Hunt vehicle because she was the star of it, but it really launched Bill Paxton's career. But think about everybody else in that movie. Do you really remember anybody else except Helen Hunt, Bill Paxman, and Dusty?
No, because he was always so excited. He was like, the extreme, baby, the extreme. The suck zone. I remember him saying that about to that girl. She goes, what's that? He said, it's the suck zone right in the middle of the Twister.
That's right. And so what can we say, Philip? We will miss you.
We will miss you, sir. God bless. You know, Philip, that's the... Huh?
Philip got sucked up in the suck zone.
He got sucked up in the suck zone. Well, maybe he's looking down on us right now where we're broadcasting.
Going, those guys didn't know me.
Those guys,
they have no right to talk about me.
Well, I would think even people that didn't know me, I want them to talk about me when I'm dead. Good things, which probably will never happen.
I was going to say, you really want me talking about you when you're gone,
yes.
Sean?
Oh, you will. You'll do a tribute show if you don't go first, and you'll be like, listen.
I'm ready for sex.
I always wonder what you'd do without me if we did a tribute show.
If
what
we
happened?
Did a tribute show, what I'd do without you?
No, if I died first, what would you do? Would you take live call-ins? Would you open up the phone?
On all the insurance I've put on you.
Right. Oh, well, I didn't know you could do that.
By an island in the south of South Pacific and just relax.
Well, you know. Hey, I'm trying this new beer. It's Short Straw Farmhouse Red Ale. That's Short Straw Farmhouse Red Ale. It's by Blue Moon. Man, is it good. Huh?
It sounds good, Sean.
Well, I went through like two of them already. Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, you know, what are you going to do?
I'm starting a new tradition for myself. I pour myself a glass of champagne before every show. I'm celebrating the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
Champagne.
I'm ready for sex.
So wearing your robe, your smoking jacket.
Wearing my smoking jacket, drinking my handlebar mustache, drinking my champagne and smoking my e-cigar.
Drinking your mimosa.
I'm ready for sex.
You are ready for sex. Demon Hunter.
Ghost Man.
Hey. This just comes in. Before we go into the news, we got a special edition of the G&D show tonight. Ready for this? You don't know.
Is that my cue?
Yeah. This is a story, America, that just happened, and we're going to report on it tonight. Are we ready, Demon Hunter?
We are ready, Sean.
Here we go.
Oh, actually, we weren't ready,
Sean. Well.
Why do you leave these things up to me, Sean? You know I'm no good at these.
You're no good at board control.
Indiana, Gary, Indiana, Gary, Indiana. Let me say it once again. Gary, Indiana, Gary, Indiana, Gary, Indiana. That's the town that knew me when. If you'd like to have a life.
Gary, Indiana, and Satan. That's the town that knew me well. And Satan lives there, apparently, Demon Hunter.
Apparently he does.
We reported on this story last week or the week before, huh?
That's right. We brought it up because we had been talking about all the cases of exorcisms that are popping up across the country.
Yeah, they are popping up, aren't they? Huh? It's kind of like that scene in Ghostbusters where it'd be like me and you driving down. Remember, it was Ray and who was the black gentleman?
Zedmore.
Zedmore. It was Ray and Zedmore, and he said, you know, do you believe in God?
That people are rising from the grave?
Yeah. Do you believe in God? I like his style. This could be like some, this could be it, man. This could be Armageddon. Huh? The uprising.
You know, the whole aspect of, you know, people starting to recognize these things that they might not have believed in before or
right.
just passed aside. And all of a sudden, boom, there's somebody standing in the mirror behind you, and you shriek, and next thing you know, you're calling an exorcist. And
right. Well, you know, I love stories.
It's all over the country. You're right. Cases. And this was one that happened at the same time.
Well, you know, I love stories like this because not regular skeptics, but the smart-ass skeptics, this is kind of like a jab to the mouth. Just a straight-up punch. Because when I first read about it, I thought, here we go. You know, the chick's got pink hair. And it shows you're biased and you're, you know, prejudiced again. Not prejudiced, but, you know, you're so cold to the facts. You've been cheated so many times and lied to. I thought, Gary, Indiana, oh my God, crime rate's high. Somebody's looking to make a quick buck off this with the ghost craze and everything. But, you know, it goes on, the story, because people didn't know this. But the police chief, the child protective services, medical doctors and nurses were involved in this case, and witnesses to powers unknown. Huh?
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Now, guys, you're seeing up in the live feed, you're seeing a picture of the house on the far right, and you're seeing a picture of Latoya Ammons. That was the mother of three. That said she lived through a horrific experience living in an Indiana home. Of course, that was Gary, Indiana. But, yeah. Even city police are convinced it was a haunted portal to hell, Demon Hunter.
Now we know.
In beautiful Gary, Indiana.
Now we know. Yeah. You know, that song we played earlier, Sean.
Gary,
was
Indiana.
Was actually Ron Howard as a child singing. So now we know where he got the power to get his start up.
See? Satan! We're not making light of it, folks, but we are, because that's what we do. This is a comedy-based show. Anyway, spoken out on her paranormal trauma and what it was like to be the family to be possessed. Now, this is what's interesting, Demon. Latoya.
We have a house in Gary, Indiana.
Uh-huh.
That is possessed by the devil.
No, not the house is possessed. The three.
The people.
Yeah.
Okay. People. The house is a gateway to hell. Okay.
Yeah, it's the gateway. If you live at the threshold of hell, wouldn't you look at apartment listings immediately? You know. I don't know.
Comes complete with three bedrooms, one bath, and a gateway to hell.
Well, I'm waiting on the book and some douchebag to try to, you know, make a quick buck off of it. Oh, wait a minute. there'll be a book.
First, do not represent those that Ghostman and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
Well, what are you going to do? I speak the truth, people. But anyway, that's going to be a book soon to come, I am sure, about the Gary, Indiana haunting that will be right by beside, I dare say, the Amityville Horror.
Well, it should be interesting. However, we know about the... So tell me some of the events that occurred in the house, Sean.
Well, let's go on, Demon Hunter.
Shall we?
Now, this house was where Michael Jackson, Michael, grew up. Me and my mother, Latoya says, and my children, we almost lost our lives. Whose undeniably terrifying experience of Amon's left her chilled to her core and now has an entire nation captivated by her spectral tale, Demon Hunter.
Now, wait a minute. Michael Jackson?
Yeah, it was close to Michael's house. His old house. So he grew up in Gary.
He grew up in the house.
No.
Okay.
He grew up down the street. Maybe that's where he came out with the...
The Thriller?
Yeah, because this is Thriller.
Now, trick-or-treating at this house. I decided to write this song.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to write it. This was obviously demons, said Latoya. Not just random spirits. There is a difference. They always become specialists in the paranormal when something like this happens. Amon's unwavering eyes speak volumes about how truly real the haunting became for her family, Demon Hunter. I knew it was infested with demons. I know that for a fact, she said. I spoke to a good friend of mine. He was a clairvoyant. Oh, okay. He's in New York. He explained to me what was going on in the house. And what was going on was like something out of Poltergeist. And they misspelled Poltergeist. I figure that's... So. Or The Exorcist. Only those terrible things, Demon Hunter, were truly happening to Amon's and her family.
Okay, so this is Latoya Amon's.
Latoya Amon's.
Okay, I thought you said Latoya Jackson. That's why you had me on through.
No, not Latoya. She said the house was... the clairvoyant said the house was infested with demons. She said, and if I knew what... What I was up against, I would run and drop everything, but she didn't, of course. She said a particularly scary bout with the demons had the family rushing to the emergency room as Amon's 9-year-old son was in the grips of possession. Amon's has revealed that even physicians were terrified, Shadow Nation. When the family got to the hospital, her son walked... You ready for this? At the hospital. When the family got to the hospital, her son... Get ready, guys. Walked up the wall. I didn't stutter. And did a backwards flip and threw her into the wall. And started headbutting her. And they had to grab him and hold him. Now, did you guys get that? He walked up the wall. Not beside it. Up.
Bruce Lee used to do that all the time. And nobody accused him of being possessed.
Yeah, but this kid, I think, was pretty much suction cup to the ceiling for a minute before he did a backflip. The doctor from the psych ward said, "That's not real. That's not human. No human can do what that little boy just did." Huh? That's what the... and then it goes on with a bunch of... Father Michael Magnote. Maybe we're going to get him on the show in a couple weeks. Maybe. He explains how he performed 3 exorcisms, 2 in English and 1 in Latin, on Latoya Amon's in his church, St. Stephen Morti, in Maryville, Indiana.
Wait, St.? Stephen's Dead is the name of the church?
Yeah, sounds like it. No, I think that's Morte.
Oh, Morti?
La Morte. Anyway, Demon Hunter, the police chief, 32 years on the force. Huh? After 3 decades on the force. 30 years. Gary Police Captain was in no doubt. He said he had seen it firsthand. And so did the caseworkers. And this is why it has the nation stunned. The caseworkers, Demon Hunter.
Okay.
Shadow Nation has seen this. If you guys look on the picture show you're looking at there, you'll see at the top right-hand corner a caseworker for the Child Protective Custody where her pinky is totally frozen, or she says it is. You can see the discoloration on the screen there. There was a Bible and some, like, a vase of flowers and stuff left down on a table in the basement. And this basement, Demon Hunter, this is like a concrete basement. There was nothing down there, maybe some trash bags, stuff like that. And, of course, the clear ooze coming down the walls. which we've heard so much about. This ooze. And of course, they got that picture with the, looks like a spirit with the hand on the wall, which I don't put much stock in pictures like that. Still doesn't mean the house isn't experiencing something. Now, here's the fun fact about this, the interesting fact. Everybody's stone cold, right? You got everybody in the reality and this can't happen and that can't happen. Then something like this comes out and it shocks the world and people go, wait a minute, you got not only the 3-decade running police chief of Gary, you have 4 or 5 caseworkers from the child protective custodies that had no affiliation with LaToya whatsoever, Miss Evans, Amons. And then you have a doctor and a nurse run out of the room because the kid walked up the wall, did a backflip on the ceiling, and headbutted the crap out of his mom or the nurse or whatever. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. What are we thinking here?
Huh.
Oh, the caseworker said she stuck her pinky in the goo to make sure what it was, and it immediately froze her finger.
Immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So.
What she said.
This is probably not doing great things for Gary, Indiana tourism.
I think it's picking up. I think it would be. Actually, they're probably going to put this house on the state flag or on their flag from the town.
Gary, because, Indiana.
Yeah, not many people know that much about Gary except to stay away.
That's right. New tourism for Gary, Indiana. Gary, Indiana.
I'm ready for sex.
Right.
The central point for your interdimensional.
I was actually working on getting us a live broadcast from the portal of hell in the basement. Drop some phone calls. Of course, that probably won't happen now.
Yeah, I understand the house has been sold.
I understand that too, Demon Hunter. By who? I would rather not mention the story. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. Some guy bought it. Host of a television show.
Some film producer?
Yeah, okay. Probably going to use it for some kind of project.
Well, I would hope so. You know, I would
and
hope
then
so.
Resell it for double the money. Cause it's
38 grand is what it sold for. For really? Some prime Gary, Indiana property.
How does that compare to other houses that sell in the area?
I don't know. Ghost hunters. Anyway, guys, LaToya Amons, real live demonic possession case. And not only her and her children say so, and her mother, but the police chief.
Everyone else.
Everyone else. See, you get some of that, Demon Hunter. And that's what shocks people every once in a while, because we're so sure. And we've mentioned this before, that stuff can't happen like that. Well, it's because, you know, people don't want to be afraid. You're so sure that stuff can't happen like that, yet anybody I know that's home alone and watches The Exorcist or something like that might make a couple of head turns over their shoulder at night. You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah, and I mean, let's face it. I've been on cases where I've seen things I can't explain. I've been attacked on cases. So I do believe. The problem is, in this day and age where people want their house to be haunted so they can tell everybody they live in a haunted house, when somebody comes up with a true story, you don't know if it's true or not because there's been so many fake stories thrown your way.
Right, exactly.
So, I mean, I want these people to get help. I want them to not have to worry about going to sleep at night. I want the kids to get a good night's sleep and to have grow up with normal lives. And the fact of the matter is, if they don't get help, it's because so many people are out there faking this stuff.
Well, let's talk about this. I mean, if it is a fraud, if it's a fake, which, you know, 90% of them are. But there's a, like you said earlier this week.
Well, not 90% are frauds, but 90% are either frauds or
a misunderstandings
of natural occurrences.
We agree. We concur. Which, guys, this is an epic show because it hardly ever happens. So, you know, if you're listening live, listeners around the world, Shadow Nation, consider yourself lucky. Demon Hunter and me never agree. But anyway, Demon Hunter, the thing that you were saying, the 90% that I said, I shouldn't have said that. There are so many more cases, guys, that go unreported that these things happen to, that these people don't report because they don't want some idiot from a ghost show or some, you know, weirdo
we
kids.
Say that because we've been the idiots from the ghost show.
Yeah, we have, but we had a good show. just that's why I didn't make it. We actually did the right things. But the thing about it is, they don't want kids running past their house, soaping the windows. They don't want their kids harassed at school, you know, calling them retarded and all this. And you see things. Think about it. If our house was possessed, well, you know I'd come forward and be like, hey, come on in, see the devil for $10 a pop, you know? But
you can rent my daughter's room. Honey, come on, you're sleeping with mommy and daddy tonight.
Sleeping with mommy and daddy, absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, these cases go unreported, and it allows smart alecks, and I don't hate skeptics. I hate smart-ass skeptics. Let me say that, because they're just as ignorant as the people that run out and say that everything's an orb and everything's a ghost, and they help nothing. They just put us back on the paranormal.
People have to remember, there's a huge difference between a skeptic and a non-believer.
Mm-hmm.
A skeptic hasn't seen any proof, and so without proof doesn't want to accept word of mouth.
No.
Which is completely understandable. There are plenty of things like that I agree with. Heck, Sean is still a skeptic about the clitoris, but...
What is this you speak of? That's terrible. That's nasty.
Nature's Rubik's Cube.
Wait until we get picked up by a major network. We can't say these things. We're going to have to change.
Skeptics just... It's not that they don't believe. They just, before they believe, they want to see. They want proof, or they want evidence, and that's fine. But
well, we do too. But you know, they shoot down evidence and say it's phony all the time.
Yeah, and it's because so many of them come in saying there is no such thing as ghosts. There are none of this. There is none of that. And whatever you say, I have an explanation for. Well, you know, I have explanations for everyday events. That doesn't make them not happen.
Right.
You know, there's plenty of things that can happen on a camera or on a recorder or on, you know, any kind of technique you use to capture evidence.
Yes.
That can be explained more than one way.
I'm here for the gangbang.
It's the personal experience that goes along with it that explains that to you. So
that's it.
The skeptic goes in and no matter what happens, refuses to believe that something supernatural actually happened.
That's
it doesn't matter how much evidence you have.
That's right.
And now I will step down off this soapbox.
Step down.
For the gangbang?
He's here for the gangbang. Demon Hunter Shadow Nation. G&D show in the news.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. It's always fresh. It's always exciting. A little strange. And it starts right. There it is. That is in the news. That's our segment, Demon Hunter.
That's in the news?
That's in the news. No, I mean,
this is in the news.
This is in the news. Yeah, we have it. Today's strange news from all over the planet. Each week we find news stories to read to you guys. We already covered one, but that wasn't really a story. That was top headline there.
That was a top headline. And that's right, ladies and gentlemen. You know that when it comes time for In the News, that means it's time for the G&D drinking game.
Drink.
When Sean and I read the news, we pick the news by the story titles. Mm-hmm. Not reading the news in advance means we're going to make a lot of mistakes.
Yeah.
When we make a mistake, we all take a drink. That means if you're listening to this show on a podcast while driving in your car right now, please don't play the G&D drinking game.
Don't do it!
Also, if you're planning to drive this evening after listening to the G&D show, please listen responsibly. And now it's time for G&D in the news.
This comes out of Live Science Magazine. It's by Megan Gannon, Demon Hunter.
Okay,
here. Underwater fairy rings in the Baltic Sea caused by poison, biologists say. Huh?
Okay.
They're not the work of World War II bombs or aliens or fairies. Who said they were made by fairies? Instead, mysterious underwater rings spotted off the coast of Denmark are the result of poison, biologists say.
Oh.
I'm here for the gangbang.
Striking rings of green eelgrass. Some of them up to 49 feet, 15 meters wide, can occasionally be spotted in the clear Baltic water off the coast of Denmark's island of Mon. Drink up, guys. Not sure about that. It's M-O-N. How do you mess that up? Mon. The formations were captured in tourist photos in 2008 and again in 2011, sparking the type of speculation that's unusually reserved for crop circles. But biologist Maria Homer from the University of Southern Denmark and Jens Borum from University of Copenhagen assures that the circles have nothing to do with either bomb craters or landing marks for aliens, nor with the fairies, who in the old days got the blame for similar phenomena, Demon Hunter.
I don't believe it.
Fairy rings. They made them on land back then, though. In the lawns being his well-known example, Homer and Borm said in a statement today, January 30th, the biologist concluded that the rings formed because of the radiating pattern in which the eelgrass grows. Sounds like a book, where the eelgrass grows. Remember
where
the red fern?
The eelgrass grows.
Yeah, the red fern grows. We had to read that in school.
By Sean Burris.
See? The scientists detected high levels of sulfide in substance that poisonous to eelgrass and can build up naturally in a chalky seabed like the one off of Mon. Or unnaturally when agricultural pollutants, drink up guys, enter an ecosystem. There you go, Demon Hunter. So they're not fairy rings out there.
Hey, Sean, just a quick update for you. Yeah. Right now on the Super Bowl,
yes,
Seahawks are 22 to Broncos 0.
Oh my God, is it going to have we're going to be upset this year.
And remember when we were doing this, we kept saying, I personally kept saying, I want the Seahawks to win, but I think the Broncos will win. So it'll be interesting if it happens. Our score obviously blown out of the water right now, unless, of course, the Seahawks only get 2 more points or 3 more points and the Broncos get 12, then we'll be right about there. But
don't give up on Peyton Manning. Say that.
Not giving up on him, but here's an interesting story for you that goes along with that.
Oh.
Utah Ape predicts Seahawks will win the Super Bowl.
An ape.
Okay. This comes from the Associated Press. A Utah Ape that has correctly, I don't know, you may have to take a drink for that one, picked the Super Bowl winner for 6 straight years, predicted Thursday that the Seahawks will be the next NFL champions.
Mongo like chocolate. That's the ape.
Eli the ape ran into an enclosure Thursday morning and swiftly knocked down a papier-mâché helmet bearing the Seahawks logo.
Oh boy, it's foolproof.
Signifying his pick, said Eli, or Erica Hansen. I didn't think Eli said something. We can have a drink. Of Helga Zoo in Salt Lake City. You may take a drink for that one.
Helga Zoo! Chug it down, people!
He made his pick without any hesitation, Hansen said. That could mean bad news for Broncos fans.
Just a banana behind the
head. 13-year-old primate, the 13-year-old primate, has not been wrong. Oh my gosh, I'm getting everybody drunk.
Drink!
Not been wrong since 2006.
Yeah.
Last year, Eli charged out and knocked over a papier-mâché goalpost decorated with the Ravens logo.
Okay.
Sure enough, the Ravens beat the 49ers 34-31. Eli's pick this year drew mixed recognition from his team of zookeepers
drink
that included avid Broncos fans. They are hoping that this is the first wrong year, Hansen said. After he made his prediction,
so Hansen's a Broncos fan
apparently. Eli was joined by his mate Eve.
Eli's Peyton Manning's brother's name, by Quincy. It is.
And daughter, Acura.
Acura. That's is that like the car?
Yeah, I guess. And allowed to smash and play and eat the papier-mâché helmets.
Uh-huh.
Hansen said...
That's what they do. They smash and eat.
Yes. Eli smash.
Right. They play
Hansen
with themselves.
Said that interest and excitement about Eli's Super Bowl picks has increased as his streak grows.
Right.
This year, people have been asking daily when he will be making his pick.
Right.
He's better than Vegas odds makers, Hansen said.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so we said Broncos, Eli the Ape says Seahawks, and the Seahawks are currently in the lead.
Yeah, but not by much. Well, 22
points. Good grief.
Is it the, yes, this is what we think of the ape.
Oh, good grief.
Yeah. Hey, what quarter was it? Nobody said nothing.
It was second.
Second quarter.
Second quarter, 3 minutes left.
That's getting scary at 0.
22-0.
I seen Peyton Manning come back from 30-some points down on a Monday Night Football game against Tampa. 30-something-0. Okay. But he had Marvin Harrison at the time. But anyway, whatever. Seahawks or Broncos, my Colts aren't in it. I don't care. Shucky darn. Weird news, Demon Hunter.
Weird news.
Billy Stanley buried Astride, his motorcycle, inside. He named his motorcycle, I guess. Astride?
I guess so.
Astride, his motorcycle inside enormous plexiglass box, riding beloved Harley to heaven. Ready for this?
I'm waiting for the country song to kick in.
I'm riding to heaven on my Harley.
Harley.
And my house burnt down and my dog died. Mecklenburg, drink up, guys. Ohio. This comes out of the Associated Press. An Ohio man's family is fulfilling his dying wish. Ew, I hate when they do this stuff. To be buried astride his beloved Harley Davidson motorcycle encased in a see-through casket. That's a waste of a motorcycle.
All I can think of is when my foster dad died, I came down and I wanted to offer to buy his Harley off of him, and I came home and found out he'd already sold it and how devastated I was. That's something you pass on.
See? But it hasn't been easy, they say, Demon Hunter. No, no, no. The project required an extra-large cemetery plot to accommodate a plexiglass casket for Billy Stanley and his hulking custom painted 1967 Electra Glide Cruiser. Five embalmers worked to prepare his body with a metal back brace and straps to ensure he'll never lose his seat. Wow. Stanley's family, well, if it's his last wish, Stanley's family said he'd been talking about it for years and liked to take people to the garage to show off his unusual casket. Wait, they built the casket?
They built it while he was still alive.
Oh, my God. His two sons had built for him. His two sons built it. Wow, that's creepy. People he didn't just want to ride off to heaven. He wanted the world to see him do it in the big see-through box. He was a quirky man. Really?
I would never guess.
He was a quirky man.
Oh, good grief.
Thanks, Charlie
Brown. I thought he was a teetotaling school teacher.
Yeah. Daughter Dorothy Brown said that he was a quirky man. But when it comes to us kids, he loved us. He raised us as well as he could. Of course, we wanted to help him. The Dayton Daily News, Demon Hunter, said reported that Stanley of Mecklenburg, drink up, guys, Ohio, west of Columbus, died of lung cancer Sunday at the age of 82. He was to be buried Friday. A newspaper photo of the prepared casket shows Stanley with his eyes closed. You guys can look that up online on his big bike. He dressed in black leathers, a white helmet and glasses, his gloved hands grasping the handlebars. Wow. And a truck, actually, they got a picture of a truck pulling him through the cemetery. Can you believe that? That's awesome, dude. That's awesome. I want to be buried with the...
Sean has a new last request.
Yes. I want to be... No, I don't want a motorcycle. I want to be buried at my broadcasting seat. Huh? With the microphone in case... And then in a live feed, just in case you're doing a show one night and I can chime in.
Oh, so you want me to run a live feed down to your casket so that for all eternity you can be... part of the Ghost Man Demon Hunter show.
Yeah.
Every week I have to come on all by myself and say, what do you think of that, Sean?
And wait.
EVP.
You just wait there, Mr. Stuffins.
Hey, Sean, man allegedly adopts cats.
You stole
so
my story.
He can eat them.
Okay. Meow!
That's the story part of it.
Oh, Chew good grief.
The Huffington Post says, chew on this.
So he ate some...
An Italian man who adopted at least 15 cats over a two-year period is now being accused of cooking and eating them.
What was he eating, Demon Hunter? What was it?
I ain't going there, John. The man identified only as Francisco F.
Yes.
Allegedly traveled to various animal shelters in the province of Brian... Brian... Okay, have a drink.
Drink!
Brianzia.
Yeah.
And adopted black cats with very specific characteristics.
Black cat? What's the characteristics?
According to Lorenzo Chaud, the president of the Italian Association for the Defense of Animals and the Environment.
Right.
They had to be around 3 years old.
Right.
And quite plump, Charge said.
Who are you calling a psycho?
The local IT. After reviewing a number of reports from various catteries.
Catteries. Yeah. Drink!
Officials began to suspect that the suspect was involved with some sort of satanic. Charge said.
Satanic?
Satanic. The accused
Satan?
Killer was allegedly caught red-handed as he was about to kill a cat for dinner, The Independent reported. Investigators said that when the suspect was confronted, he seemed confused and asked if killing and eating cats was against the law.
He didn't know that, huh?
Apparently he did not.
He's a great guy.
Cat consumption is rare, but not uncommon in Italy, according to Choach, who estimates Italians eat between 500 and 600 cats a year. Not doggies, cats. He said his group files about 20 to 25 complaints a year against people who eat cats. The businessstandard.com.
Where's PETA on this?
What's that?
Where's PETA on this one? That's what I want to know, man.
Italy. So, I mean, does PETA have any say in Italy? I don't think so.
I don't know.
Not funny, haha, funny, queer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is that it?
That's it.
Funny, haha, funny, queer.
Thank you, Slake Blade. Oh, that's great. That's great. Al Pacino's hoo-ah coming up. Yeah, hoo-ah. That's it, guys, for G&D Show in the News.
That's right.
That was some good stories tonight.
Those were some good stories.
The guy ate some pussycat. Oh.
Well, you know, it's funny. Here in the U.S.,
yes,
the shelters tend to not allow people to adopt black cats during the month of October.
Because they're afraid they'll use them and let them go.
Or use them in, like, rituals or things like that.
So they kill cats in rituals?
You know, we're not going to go into beliefs as a standard, but I'm sure there are people out there who kill cats in rituals. You remember a few years ago, I got called out to a case out in Bridgeport, Connecticut, where they'd found a goat's head and or a goat's body and dead doves lying around a grave because they wanted some report on somebody who knew something about Santeria. Mm-hmm. So I got called out on that, and this looks like a Santerian ritual, except for the fact that, you know, typically only the blood from the goat would be used and the goat would be eaten. So whoever is doing this knows the rituals but doesn't know the actual philosophy behind it.
Marsha.
That's right.
Why is everybody always looking at Marsha?
Marsha.
She's a Satanist. She kills doves and cats.
Marsha.
I feel happy.
That's better.
Oh, that's good. You fired back, Demon. You fired back, and I'm proud of you. So is the world. They're all happy. What's that?
We're just going to do the next 5 minutes of us playing clips.
Clip battle, baby. They don't care. They're getting
drunk.
Got
the whole orgasm scene from Harry Met Sally lined up.
No, that's too long. We don't want to listen to that. That's a bore. We don't want to listen to it. Demon Hunter.
Ghost Man.
Shadow Nation. A G&D original series.
Dun, dun, dun.
A G&D original series, Legend X, where each week we search down the haunted backroads to find the strange, the unusual, from witches to mermaids to the bunny man, real-life werewolves, and much, much more. Tonight's Legend X...
The Bell Witch.
The Bell Witch. Ah, that's a good one to fit tonight.
Yeah, you know, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Witches. Curses.
Samantha was hot, though. Witches are hot, man. They are. They're hot. Have you? Yes. Have you noticed a lot of the new witches? They used to be, you know, outcast and ugly, but now people, they want to get involved, you know.
Well, you know, witches. It's funny. Years ago, my original move to Connecticut was to do some research with the Connecticut Wiccan and Pagan Network.
Yes. And orgies daily.
That's why I set base up here in Connecticut, because I could travel around from here, and I had a good base of people I could communicate with. I got to stay in the home of a famous witch here in Connecticut and have access to her library.
Joyce
Farah, who wrote the Witch's Bible, came to visit, and I got to spend 3 months with her.
She gave you the wand, right? She
gave me the wand, like, which went missing after that weekend, Sean. It went missing, and I went back.
I can't believe that.
Movies about gladiators.
Yeah. So, I mean,
hey, Demon Hunter.
Somebody movies stole that wand. So you know what? Right now, here and there, I'm putting a curse on that wand for whoever has it. If they don't return it to me, I hope it brings them death and destruction.
Movies about gladiators.
Okay.
You like movies about gladiators? You just put a hex on people on the G&D show live. Huh?
But, hey, you and I are big fans of the Bell Witch.
We are big fans of the Bell Witch. Matter of fact...
Googly moogly.
Yeah. Some of us could say that we are huge fans of the Bell Witch. Ah! Welcome to the city! Welcome to the city of Adams, Tennessee, Shadow Nation. That's where the Bell Witch is said to reside. And that's where it all happened, guys. You've seen countless numbers of movies, posters, writings in the newspaper about the Bell Witch. It's a legend that continues on to this very day. Right, Demon Hunter?
So I've heard.
John Bell, the middle-aged man, a big farm owner out there in Adams County, Tennessee. He used to be, like, top-notch, man. He had a lot of money. They had a lot of land. And apparently a spirit, it wasn't like a person, it was a spirit that attacked his young children. Huh? Okay. And if you go to Adams County today, they have statues of the Bell Witch. They said that was the most scary American legend they had ever lived through. And many people that have witnessed it say, or from that time, say the Bell Witch is the scariest thing they've ever seen in their life. And apparently it wasn't just John Bell and his family that seen it.
No, not at all. In fact, it's the only case of a haunting in America where a president of the United States actually went to investigate the haunting.
And what president was that, Demon?
Now you want to, like, call me on that?
I was going to bring that up, but I was Googling the president's name. Professionalism.
We try.
The Bell Witch, anyway, guys. John Bell. Poor John Bell. They said it killed him.
Yes, that's the rumor. And it's also believed that it was very protective of his daughter.
Very protective. And in the movie, if you remember right, basically called John Bell a rapist, that he was raping his daughter and stuff, but that's not accurate. You know, no, who knows?
You're not going to say the president's name?
I don't know it.
Oh, it's Andrew Jackson. I'm sorry. I thought you were actually going to give it.
Right. And who was his name? What was his statement? That he said something about nothing.
That it was... God, now you're going to throw me on that one. It was 1824, and... Gosh, I can't remember what his comment was on it, but he did make a comment that it was to be believed. I do know that he felt that it was something that actually existed.
Okay.
But you can't quote me on it because I don't know the quote.
Yeah, he said he had actually, in his travels, stayed out there for a while.
And
that the Bell Witch did. Like I said, John Bell, you know, prominent businessman, had a lot of property. So they hosted these people out there, and they said the Bell Witch was very well. What do you think, Demon? You think it was fraud? Anyway, guys, this week's Legend X Bell Witch. What do you think?
I do think it's interesting that to this day, it's believed that if you take a rock from the Bell Witch's cave, which for those of you who don't know, the daughter of the Bells would go to this cave to play, and that's where they claim to have seen the witch for the first time. It's said that if you take a rock from the cave and take it home with you, the Bell Witch will follow you. Of course, because it's they're trying to preserve the land, they ask that people don't take rocks with them, but they receive rocks in the mail constantly from people who admit that they took a rock home, got home, and strange things occurred, and so they send the rock back, asking them to please return the rock to the cave. Well, there's now a barrel sitting outside the main building full of rocks that people have sent back.
Really?
Yes.
Hey, we've had some experience with rocks.
We have. We attempted that same experiment in Gettysburg, where you, our friend Doug from Ghostly Talk, and myself all took rocks home from a haunted site.
We did.
Your garage door wouldn't stop opening and closing.
It wouldn't. It wouldn't.
When you left your rock by your table, yeah, by in the kitchen, wasn't it?
Yeah. While we were talking, the actual door was coming up and down like three times, not just once. Like three times it came up and down. So.
And then mine, I kept hearing knocking at my front door. My wife was actually there for one of them before she was my wife.
I hear you knocking.
And you'd go to the door and nobody was there. And Doug from Ghostly Talk left his on top of his computer and the entire computer blew up.
Blew up. And we returned
literally
it?
Literally melted inside.
Didn't you return it to Gettysburg?
No, I have the rocks now.
You still do? I don't know what I did with my rock. I think I lost it in the divorce.
I am locked in the secret ghost man and demon hunter vault.
The vault. Demon Hunter Shadow Nation, the hour is up on us.
Hey, Sean, you didn't tell me what you think, though.
About the Bell Witch?
About the Bell Witch. Is I think it's true? Is she there? Is she haunting to this day? If people go, will they see her? Is she a danger to society? Should she be arrested?
I don't think, yeah, absolutely. As a streaker, I'm sure she's nakedly. I think there's a lot of truth to it. I think that the Bell family was hindered by something, attacked by something, just like what we're dealing with today with LaToya and LaToya Ammons and her family. I think things did happen, but back there in the days, they reached for, you know, like tonight, what we're going to find out about. They reached for the, you know, basics. A witch, it's evil. Just like today, we kind of jump conclusions and we say things are demons. Not saying they don't exist, but, you know, I think they reach for demons. It could have been a ghost. Could have been a violent demon. Who knows? But I do think it happened.
Well.
What do you think about that? Let's take a break, Demon Hunter. Tonight's guest, author Marilyn K. Roach, known for The Ghost in the Shed, CBS Library in 79, and most recently, The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, and her new book, Six Women of Salem. She'll be in studio tonight. Up next, tonight's band, Zombina and the Skeletones. You can find out more about them at zombinaandskeletones.com. Hold on 1 second, guys. We will be right back.
Is it just me? Survive, but if it's just me. me, babe, and put me out my misery. It's just me. If it's just me, babe, put me out my misery.
Hi, this is Patrick Doyle of Ghost Mine, and you are listening to the Ghost Man and D-Liner Show.
Yes, indeedy. Welcome back, listeners around the world, Shadow Nation, to the one, the only Mystifying Oracle Radio, your Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. Demon Hunter!
And ladies and gentlemen, I want to apologize. Sean always reminds me that just when he's about to go to break, I remind him we have to talk about one more thing. So,
yeah.
I'm sorry, brother. I know you try to keep us on time and on schedule, and I just mess it up for you every time.
Well, that's the way we do it. But ladies and gentlemen, Demon Hunter. Shadow Nation, tonight's guest, it's a special treat for me, amazing author Marilyn K. Roach, known for The Ghost in the Shed, CBS Library, and most recently her appearance on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, and her new book that knocked my socks off, Six Women of Salem. Ladies and gentlemen, please help us welcome author Marilyn K. Roach. Marilyn, how you doing?
Fine, thanks.
Was that a good intro for you?
That's quite an introduction. Thank you.
Well, thank
now,
you.
We expect you to live up to it, Marilyn.
Yeah.
Well, I'll do my best.
No, she has. Because let me tell you, Demon Hunter and Shadow Nation, I started reading this book, Six Women of Salem. And I got to tell you something. Marilyn, Miss Roach, has went inside the witch trials and inside the lives of the ladies that were involved. And my God, man, she has shown the nation something that no book ever has done with the Salem witch trials, in my opinion. Speechless.
I'm gonna throw a question right out there, right off the beginning. Six Women of Salem, obviously, you know, going into the trials and everything, but people forget that one of the last cases involved with this actual event that went on. There was a man that was actually accused of being witched.
There were a couple of men involved. Actually, maybe four or five of the people who were hanged were men.
Wow.
I'm picking up a list. Excuse me.
I knew about Giles Corey.
Oh, yeah. Poor Giles. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, He was pressed to death, as I'm sure you know, but he wasn't tried. It was done before in Massachusetts. It was done in Europe, and I guess occasionally in England.
Right.
Forcing someone to cooperate with the trial. They had asked him how do you plea, and he said he was not guilty. But then you're supposed to say something like, they ask, how will you be tried? It's all a formulaic. And I guess the response is by God in this country or God in this court. And he wasn't having anything to do with that court, so he just wouldn't say anything about that. And technically, they couldn't proceed. So in desperation, they resorted to pressing, which is putting stones on somebody until they give in. But if someone is stubborn, it crushes them, and there's no mending them, so he did die that way.
Wow.
Sounds like my weekly exploits with Sean here on the show.
well, there you go.
Hey, Marilyn, you know, I love one of my favorite movies, and you being an expert on this case, you probably don't like it, but one of my favorite movies is The Crucible. Do you like it, and how real to it is, how factual?
It's based on the play by Arthur Miller, and he got to do the screenplay too, I believe. His main point is people telling the truth and not being believed, and people lying and then they're believed, and the misery and the mess that causes. So that's the main point of it. And of course he was referring to the McCarthy hearings and the communist hunts in the 1950s.
Right.
But his surrounding reason for that to have started is the romance supposedly between John Proctor and Abigail Williams, who's he cuts off their affair in the play, in the movie, and out of revenge she starts pretending she's bewitched. Whereas in real life, the actual John Proctor was in his 60s, and the Abigail Williams was like 11 years old.
Right.
And they lived in different parts of the village, and it didn't happen that way. Whatever caused it wasn't that. But that sets up the action in the play, and then they proceed with the not being believed when you're telling the truth problem.
So no Daniel Day-Lewis and Winona Ryder then.
Yeah. Well, they were very good in the play.
They were.
It wasn't exactly history.
Tell us what role did Tituba play in the Salem witch trials? Did I pronounce that right, Tituba?
I don't know how they pronounced it, and it's been spelled several different ways.
Right.
I always said Tituba, but I don't know if that's correct or not. Well, she was a slave woman belonging to Reverend Samuel Parris in Salem Village, and it was in his household that the problems seemed to have started. His niece, Abigail Williams, 11, and his daughter, 9-year-old Betty Parris, act odd the winter before all this starts, like January approximately. There's something wrong with them. They don't know what. The account is that they made odd noises. They crept under the furniture. They were making funny noises, and they said they had various aches and pains, but, I mean, the family first treated this as with home remedies as a physical ailment, and that didn't work. And they prayed for them, which they would do anyway. And then they called in the doctors in the neighborhood, and several of them apparently, until one of them gave the opinion that he couldn't find anything physically wrong with them, so it must be an evil hand, an expression that meant somebody had worked evil magic against them.
Right.
And, well, that's particularly embarrassing for the minister's household, of course. And he was, the minister, that is, was at odds with a sizable portion of the congregation, the community, as to whether they should have chosen him to be minister or not.
Uh-huh.
So there's all this background conflict. But a neighbor referring to English folklore practices that the settlers had brought over, suggested to the two slaves in the household, John and Tituba, that they make a counter magic witch cake and feed it to the dog, which presumably hurts the person who is supposedly sending the evil magic that got into the girls, and then they'll reveal themselves. But that doesn't happen. But the girls are worse after that, possibly because they saw this being done, and they could see that the adults were taking this seriously as evil magic.
Right.
And they feel worse after that, and accuse, or at least name Tituba, and it's assumed that they're accusing her, as having caused them pains. So Tituba is one of the first three to be arrested. And on March 1st, the first day of hearings, when the legal process starts grinding along.
I can tell. Can tell.
Pardon me?
You can tell where Maryland's from. You heard March.
Oh, yeah. Well, I am from Massachusetts.
March. I love it.
So she doesn't confess at first. She says she's innocent. And the magistrate obviously doesn't believe her. And everything she says is taken as her guilt. And she backs down a bit and says, well, the witch spirits were after me, too. And then she says, the witch spirits hauled me over to the girls and made me pinch them, because she's invisible at this point.
Right.
They hauled her spirit over to the girls to hurt them. But she's presenting herself as a victim, but the court is taking it as a collaborator, a co-conspirator. So she finally has some sort of passes out or faints or something, and after that she agrees with whatever they ask her about who might be guilty, and accuses the other two who were arrested that day, or agrees with, you know, their leading questions. So she's kept in reserve as a as a witness to a supposed conspiracy of witches, because she's mentioned in trying to make up a story that will stop the question. She mentions other unnamed witches, and at that point, everybody in town, is the village anyway, is wondering who else is out there, who else is going to make some trouble.
Now, Marilyn, did Tituba? Tituba. Did she tell the Salem Village children, stories of spook tales and demons and voodoo magic?
That was a popular theory from, the Civil War on. I mean, she might have, but there's nothing contemporary that says that she did. The only magic that we can associate her with, that you can footnote, is the witch cake counter magic spell, and that was an English folklore
bit
that was suggested by a neighbor. So maybe she did, but there's no evidence for it that's contemporary.
That seems like that would almost hurt your case if they said to Tituba, do this spell, and she goes, okay, I'll do it, and it shows that she knew.
I assume that the neighbor was thinking that it was not magic but something that would repel magic.
Right.
But as of course, the minister's out of the house this day, she does know it's not something he'd approve of. That it's just too close to the real thing. So,
right.
That is, to evil magic. It just attracts the wrong kind of spirits, was the thinking behind it. So she's actually, the neighbor is not accused of doing magic. She's scolded and has to apologize to the congregation, but she's not accused.
Now, you've been working on this book for 30 years.
Something more than that, since the bicentennial of the revolution, when I first really got into the subject.
So we're talking several years, and over that time, so many theories have come out, everything from it being political, to it being land grabbing, to a fungus that infected the rye at the time.
Oh, yeah.
Caused, when going over all this research and studying, what did you find was probably the original cause of these trials being put out there?
I didn't agree with the ergot theory. I didn't think it was the fungus. But no one thing stood out, but I think it was just too many things happening at once that made people uneasy, because there was a war with Canada, which involved frontier raids from French Canadian and Algonquin forces. French Canadian privateers at sea, of course, they were New England privateers taking French ships too. This didn't help the economy. The smallpox cropping up every so often. England is paying too much attention to how the government's going around here, and we lost the charter in Massachusetts. All of the legal documents that made any company, university, colony, business had been rescinded when the king came back from at the end of the Commonwealth period, when the Puritans took over England.
Right.
So it's all rescinded, and yet people had to show their loyalty to the crown before they could get these legal documents back. And Massachusetts was kind of rebellious from the beginning, so it took longer. And they got their new charter, making them legal, only in 1692, in May, they get it. So they don't want to lose that again and go against, if they go against English law at all, and witchcraft was illegal in England, too.
Right.
So it's a worry. I mean, the legislature is worried. They don't want to attract any attention. Of course, what happened really attracted attention.
Right.
And the local neighborhood quarrels. There's Salem doesn't want to lose any more of its territory, so they don't want the outlying part, the rural part where Salem Village, it's part of the town, but they wanted to break off, some of them did, to be their own town, pay taxes to themselves, and not have to bother with the distances involved with going into Salem. So there's a controversies about that. There were people who were glad that they hired Samuel Parris to be the minister, and those who regretted it, and those had stopped payment. So he's running out of firewood in the winter, so there's all these tensions. And then I suppose once witchcraft is suggested as plausible, that's just one thing too many, and it just tips people over into a panic.
Right. Now, you were saying, Marilyn, like Abigail Williams and Betty Parrish, the mm-hmm. preacher's daughter, and what'd you say, the Abigail Williams was his niece?
A niece.
Okay. What do you think caused them to do this? Do you think that, because you said something very interesting, the townspeople, the villagers, some thought that Samuel Parrish should have been the preacher,
yeah.
and some thought that he shouldn't be. Do you think he coached these girls to do this, or what?
I think at the beginning he was surprised and embarrassed.
Right.
Presumed witches were in his household.
Right.
But he certainly was willing to believe it. And according to, Rebecca Nurse's family, she having hanged by this time, they really blamed him for encouraging this. He didn't apparently try to calm anybody down. He bought into it. Later, he does apologize a couple of years later when they, it's too late.
Yeah, that's
good. Family is concerned.
I'm sorry.
Betty and Abigail are not among the afflicted who testify in court for very long. Betty is there maybe one or two times, and Abigail after a few more, but she's not there throughout the whole of it, so they do drop out of sight.
Right.
But he still believes that the parishioners who are accused are guilty.
Now, Marilyn, you bring up the terms a lot, afflicted and accused.
Oh, yeah.
The difference between those, I mean, who decided, it was he said, she said, it sounds like whoever, first come, first serve. I'm afflicted, and I blame Marilyn for being the one that afflicted me. Was that it?
Well, a number of the people who thought or said they thought they were being bewitched.
Right.
Actually had convulsions, which was unusual up until then, but it was sort of a trademark of this year's problems. I think it's psychologically catching, but they would actually fall down and writhe, and the descriptions, it sounds like their limbs were twisted, and if somebody tried to, you know, straighten them out, they were afraid they were going to break their leg or something.
Right.
And, you know, it could be faked. Or somebody might, if they're afraid enough, sort of frighten themselves into something like that.
Right.
And if somebody is, apparently, I've heard this, that if you breathe wrong so that you hyperventilate, you're not getting enough oxygen in your brain and you can pass out.
Now,
which would seem to prove that something was happening, even when it wasn't what they were afraid of.
Now, were these fits what caused the ergot rumors that are a theory?
Yeah, that was put forward in the 60s when the drug culture was kind of a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
There is a natural fungus that will infect rye, which was the cheapest and very common grain that they made bread from then. But the theory was rebutted in the next issue of the scientific journal that ran it by two scientists who pointed out that convulsions are indeed a symptom of ergot poisoning if the person has a vitamin A deficiency. And they, in their opinion, because of the food available at that time and place, they probably did not have a vitamin A deficiency, in which case the symptom would be gangrene, and nobody reported that. Mm. And they knew what it was because there were wounds. And
yeah, it's like that old story about living in the 16 and 1700s. I was out working on my barn, and I slammed my thumb with the hammer. Oh, well, I guess I'm going to die.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, if you're shoveling manure, you don't want to.
Yeah, you don't want to get an infection.
Now, Marilyn, here's a big one. And, you know, I've done my research on Salem because, like I said, I've always wanted to get out there. And I just, something keeps coming up and coming up. And we will get out there, Demon Hunter, this year or next.
It's a plan, Sean. It is a plan.
Mm-hmm. But there's a big conspiracy, or at least what I've heard, about Gallows Hill. Now, some say Gallows Hill is where the convicted were hung. But others say it's not. What do you think?
It's a tall hill right outside of where the settlement was, still called Gallows Hill.
Right.
But it's big. I mean, and what part of it was the place? It's not specified in the paperwork, and there was no regular place of execution before this because capital cases would have been tried in Boston up until now. This was just so big, it was easier to take the judges to Salem than to take the prisoners and all of the witnesses to Boston for trial. So it just, the paperwork says to the place of execution. But although there have been other sites suggested, other hills or someplace near the jail or something like that, somewhere on Gallows Hill, I think, was it. They say the top, but I think that's too far from the road, because this is supposed to be a lesson for everybody.
Right.
I think it was down near the bottom, near the main road.
Yeah.
But, there's buildings there. There's a public park. There's a Dunkin' Donuts. There's a Walgreens.
Yeah, just so, on top of the past.
You know, the exact spot can be speculated, but there have been different theories.
Did they let the ladies hang? I'm sorry, Demon. Did they let them hang?
I just wanted to ask a question, but I'll wait till yours is done, Sean.
I was just asking, Marilyn, you said it was supposed to be a lesson to others. Did they let the bodies hang for a while?
Well, the public could attend these occasions. That was the lesson. They may have, but there are also descriptions of the bodies being taken down and put in a common grave, as if it was on the same day.
Mm-hmm.
It was a particularly hot summer.
Ugh.
And you would have to do something with them.
Right.
But also there are strong traditions that members of the deceased's families, some of them anyway, that they took the bodies and took them back to the home farm where there was a little private burying ground.
Because
buried them there.
They couldn't be buried in the church ground, right?
Sanctified ground was not a Puritan concept.
Okay.
Yeah. Burying grounds were not sanctified, but it's just a town burying ground.
Now,
but I think traditionally felons were buried near the gallows, but I think that at least with some of them, some of the deceased, the families took them home, like Rebecca Nurse and
now,
John Proctor.
The general concept is that there were about 19
mm-hmm. yes.
accused of being witches and hanging. Out of those 19 hanged, why six women of Salem? Who were the six women and why those six?
Oh. Well, there were a lot of people accused. Six, it seemed a good number to work with. rather than everybody. And these particular individuals had different experiences and came from different backgrounds, so that taken together, they sum up in a general way. I mean, everybody's story is different, but sum up the general business of what people went through. Because of the six, five were accused, three were accusers, two were hanged, one escaped, and two outlasted the panic, and one of them was an accuser but not accused.
Okay. I know, Sean, you wanted to find out more about the fact that these women and the men, I imagine, while they were imprisoned for being accused of being witches, they had to actually pay for their room and board?
Oh, yeah. Yes, yes.
Wow.
Well, yeah, they cost money. There were bills, and if you were let go, I mean, those whose cases were eventually dismissed after the panic ended, there were bills to pay.
What are they going to do, Marilyn, if they don't pay? Hang them?
No, you just wait around in jail until somebody forks it.
Well,
over.
I wouldn't have paid them.
it's similar to debtor's prison.
yes. Yeah, well, it was a debt. In Tituba's case, Samuel Parris didn't want her back in the house, so she was sold to somebody else, and that paid for the bills.
Oh, wow. Now, Marilyn, one thing before the show that I got to tell people, and I've told them in the past briefly, And a lot of people might not know it, but my real name, besides Ghostman, is Sean Sparks. It's actually Sean Burris, but my name by birth is Sean Sparks. And I've done my research, and I don't know how many greats it is, but my grandmother and my grandfather, last name Sparks, my grandmother was accused of witchcraft because a lady had gotten kicked in the head by a cow and said she'd seen the apparition of my grandmother. And I was talking to Marilyn about it, and I was telling her the details as I knew it, and Marilyn goes, no, it happened like this. And she schooled me. I was wondering if you could tell everybody and me about my heritage, my family. What happened there?
Martha Sparks, she's from Chelmsford, Massachusetts, in Middlesex County. But you told me Middlesex.
Yes.
Let's see. She's married to Henry Sparks, who is on militia duty in Maine or New Hampshire, on the frontier because the war with Canada. And he's been away for some time. And she's apparently living with her parents. And she's accused of witchcraft, and before the Salem panic starts, so in either September or October, I'm doing this off the top of my head,
right.
September or October of 1692, her father, Thomas Barrett, petitions the government to let her out on bail so she can come home and take care of the kids, because his wife, her mother, is bedridden at this point. They're elderly, and he just can't cope with taking care of her and the kids, and the husband is still absent in Maine. And I'm not sure if they let her out then, but there is another piece of paper, which I'll email you the link, releasing her, I think. So she was accused by somebody and was awaiting trial in Boston, which... in the Boston jail, which implies that she's being held for a capital case, which would be witchcraft. So she was there before the Salem panic, and she outlasted it too. Apparently, there'd been some trouble with her getting into a fight with her mother some years before. And I've heard the cow thing. As I remember it, the anecdote. It was some woman in Chelmsford. That anecdote didn't mention who it was, so maybe it was Martha, or maybe I forget when they said this happened.
Right.
But I remember that it was mostly about the minister of the town, whose name escapes me at the moment. I apologize.
That's okay.
But he spoke up for the accused, saying that it was a coincidence that the cow hurt somebody at the same time they thought they saw something. So that's a disjointed business about it. But yeah, she was a real person, all right. That's
so this means if Sean weighs the same as a duck, I can burn him.
We don't burn. They didn't burn witches. They hanged them.
Where'd they get that from? That's a good one, Demon Hunter. Well, they got that from England, right? The burning?
Oh, Europe burned witches where Americans hanged them.
Well, England and America and the English colonies.
Right. They now here's a quick question for you. I know we're getting near the end of our time, and but I just wanted to ask you, with the growing following of neo-paganism in today and people calling themselves witches, and Salem basically being a home spot for all of them, these events of hangings and witch trials occurred all through New England. Why was Salem so popular in the following?
Well, the problem in Salem was got out of hand, so it was just bigger than the others. And it's also very well documented with the paperwork, the manuscript, the documents for the trial. Not everything survived, but a lot did. And there was commentary on it from the beginning, people writing books for and against how it was handled, and they've been available in reprints, so it was never hidden, it was never obscured. Rather unfortunate in some cases, but on the other hand, a darned interesting story. I think it's got a good source of information, and it was the worst outbreak of panic, And it was also pretty much the last, because the courts didn't want to touch that sort of thing afterwards.
Yeah.
Right. Demon Hunter, do you have any more questions for Marilyn?
I do not, Sean. I am still reeling with all the information that we've received tonight. And I just received word that the Seahawks are ahead 29-0 in the third quarter.
Looks like our predictions are wrong. Marilyn, I got one more question, sweetie, before we ask you to hold on the line for we can close out the show. The aftermath, you kind of mentioned it, the courts didn't want to touch it. The aftermath of the witch trials in Salem, what was it like?
Let's see. Well, they stopped accepting spectral evidence after September, which is to say reports of what spirits appeared to be doing. So that when they asked England what they should do about this, and it took too long for the answer to come back, which was just do what you think is right. Yeah, wow. That was a big help. So in order to clear the jails, they had to try a number of all the people who were in there, because there were like 160 people accused. So they had trials. Well, you go before the grand jury, the case might be dismissed, as most of them were. There were three people tried in January, and three were found guilty in January, but they did not hang. They were eventually exonerated. Nobody else was found guilty of the people who were tried in January and through to May, when Tituba came before the court. So it sort of trickled out. People paid their debts, got out of jail. But people who had been found guilty and didn't hang because the panic ended were never quite sure if it might start up again and the court would want to finish things.
Right.
So beginning in the 18th century, they petitioned to have their names cleared so that wouldn't happen again, even though in 1697 Massachusetts had had a public fast, which is a public church service in each town, where the people more or less apologized to God and the neighbors for whatever had gone wrong. And it was known that, you know, the real thing that had really gone wrong was the witch trials. So their names of the people in the petitions were cleared in 1711, and in 1712, Massachusetts made some sort of reparation for the expenses, the jail bills, and lost income.
Jeez. I mean,
not everything that people lost, but they did try to do something. But there were lawsuits over expenses or inheritances that didn't quite get done the way people thought they should. Well into the 18th century, I mean, like the third generation after Reverend George Burroughs, who was convicted and hanged.
Wow.
One of the men. His grandchildren was suing people, trying to get things from the government, and the revolution kind of took everyone's attention, and that was the end of it. But it was a lot of neighborhood bad feeling for a while.
And Marilyn, I know I told you one last question, but I want to bring you home with me. I want to adopt you before I can talk to you all the time. Hey, six women of Salem. Why just the six out of all the people hung?
Well, there was a backstory on them. There was more information about them as individuals. Some people, you find a name and you're lucky to get that.
Right.
And they had the different backgrounds, rich and poor, slave and free.
Right.
And unlucky. Yeah. As far as survival went.
Do we know what happened to Tituba after she was sold?
She's somewhere in Massachusetts, because one of the critics of the trials apparently spoke to her or got a secondhand story about her. She said afterwards that she didn't confess until after she was whipped. Of course, she says she's innocent, but she's apparently whipped by her master at some point. So she's around the vicinity to talk about it, but we don't even know who bought her.
I just asked because they make a big deal of her in the new American Horror Story series on television. So
I wish I knew more.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, you know, one of the worst times in American history. And you cover it, in my opinion, Marilyn, better than any author has ever done. And you've been in this field for so long, you've researched. Do you feel like you've walked with these people? Because I've read some of your book, and I've raced through it. I mean, it's an easy read. You get right through there because it's so interesting. Do you feel like you've ate dinner with these ladies, these women?
Oh, I hope if they were in touch, they wouldn't mind how I did it.
I would say not. And it's been a pleasure having you on. Can you stay on the line one more second, Marilyn?
Yeah, a couple seconds.
Okay. Yeah, just stay on. We're going to end the show, and then we'd just like to say thank you to you after
sure,
the show.
Sure.
That's it, Demon Hunter. Time to pay some bills.
And watch the end of that Super Bowl.
Yeah, get
the
end
of... Go back and watch the Super Bowl now. The G&D show is over.
Okay, guys, special thanks to Planet Paranormal for carrying a Stitcher Smart Radio. Make sure to check those out. Guys, we are supporters of the Susan G. Komen 3-day race for the cure. Be sure to go to our website, www.ghostofdemon.com. Click on donate and be a cancer fighter today. We can beat this, Demon Hunter. Special thanks, Creations by Souls Denounced. That's soulsdenounced.com. Midnight Syndicate, thanks for the tunes. Tonight's band, Zombina and the Skeletones, and Britannica, thanks, guys, for everything. Hey, from the haunted back roads of America, this has been another G&D exclusive interview. Don't go changing America. You know we won't, Demon Hunter.
Because we love you.
Thanks, guys.